This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon, and into what stuff actually means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. The podcasts are free, and I try to get a new one out weekly, but I travel a lot, so sometimes I'll miss a week. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful-looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. Reflect is one of the longest-running companies in the digital signage sector, operating out of Dallas since 2001. The company built up its CMS software business largely in retail, but in early 2017 did something of a pivot into ad scheduling and targeting. I wondered when I first got walked through what's called AdLogic why Reflect was going in that direction, given the addressable market seemed a little limited and companies like BroadSign had a serious head start on competitors. Turns out that Reflect was responding to client needs for something that was kind of sort of digital at home, but was less about agency-driven media scheduling and more about retail and place-based networks that wanted to monetize their screens with endemic advertising. So, in a medical office network, they wanted to schedule and run ads for, say, big pharma and medical device brands. I spoke with Reflect's president and co-founder, Matt Schmidt, about his company's journey and how Reflect has evolved from a software shop to one offering everything from strategy to creative work and media sales. All right, Matt, thank you for joining me. Can you give me the rundown on what Reflect is all about, including whether it's Reflect or Reflect Systems? Confused by that.
Absolutely. Great being with you today. And so Reflect started off as Reflect Systems. We've been playing in the digital out of home and digital signage space for quite some time now. When we first started, called Reflect Systems, which is still the corporation's name, we were primarily in software only, and we did a lot in the streaming media space. And that was where a lot of my background was from streaming and webcasting. As we developed our platform out, we actually got into digital signage a few years into the company based on some of our clients' requests. And we really looked at the market and were kind of excited about its potential and where it was going. And as we've grown beyond just some of our software and platform offerings, we really developed out some professional and managed services for solutioning with our clients, helping them deploy based on lessons learned and what we've seen in the market, and even helping them manage their networks in some cases. A lot of our client work has been in the retail space. We do some location-based entertainment venues, doing some point of care and financial venues as well now, but squarely in the digital signage and out of home market. That's the only place mm-hmm. we play.
I'm curious with the streaming, when you got into that, I assume you looked at digital signage and thought, okay, can we do streaming here? And I would have thought back in like 2001, 2002, that would have been an awfully big challenge to try to stream stuff.
Right. And we did not think that. We were doing a lot of streaming for our corporate clients, large corporations that were doing like employee communications mm-hmm. and training to their computers and desktops. And when they asked us if we could implement our streaming for some of their consumer facing TV and in-store TV and things like that, we immediately saw that streaming was not a fit based on the networks and the types of content. Very different. You know, they wanted to start pushing high definition video content. And so we actually adapted our platform to do a lot of what we look at with digital signage today for gracefully getting the content out to a lot of locations on existing networks without a lot of network upgrades or bandwidth upgrades. And that's a key piece of our challenge. A lot of what we do gets termed as content management, but most of the challenge is actually in content delivery.
Mm-hmm. And uptime.
Sure.
I thought of you guys for the longest time as primarily focused on retail. You had some very big clients. I believe you had Best Buy, Target, some very, very large whale clients. And it seems that you've pivoted a little bit towards digital out of home and place-based media. And I remember when I was walking through DSC and flagged to come and have a chat with you guys. I got a demo and they're telling me about AdLogic. And I thought, okay, this is interesting, but walked away thinking, boy, that's like a big shift from what they were doing up until now.
Right. And yeah, it's actually interesting when you bring that up, because we still work with retailers, and a lot of those clients continue to do new projects. And we really love the retail space. It's great, but it's a little bit different animal than some of the out of home advertising based digital signage networks. And our intent was not to go after the 100% pure play advertising networks. There's some great solutions out there that is their core focus and what they really excel at. Our intent with developing the AdLogic piece was because we do have clients, not just on the retail side, but in other verticals where paid media is a component of what they're trying to do. It's not the sole reason for them implementing a digital signage network. They're more focused on customer engagement, promotions, informing, entertaining customers. But a growing number of them are looking for how best to incorporate paid media and advertising as a component of what they're doing, and a nice way to monetize some of the network that they've put in place for these other reasons. And so we looked at the market and said, hey, it's really hard for our clients to try to traffic and manage advertisements that are paid and have unique requirements inside of the CMS program. And we saw other platforms struggle with that as well. And we actually looked at partnering or buying or licensing something else originally when we were trying to solve this problem for some of our clients. But when we looked out there at what was available, the offerings that were out there for ad management were either embedded in another CMS, which wasn't quite a good fit for us, or they were designed for some other medium. They were designed for the internet. We looked at some internet-based ad trafficking systems, or we looked at some broadcast media systems. And out of home and digital signage is kind of a hybrid of those two things. It's got characteristics of both, but we ended up needing to develop something ourselves. And so we did that, but we also specifically wanted it to be something that could integrate with the CMS, but wasn't buried inside of it.
So in the context of something like a retailer that wants to work with some of its vendors, maybe have stores within a store and things like that, this enables you to do traditional quote unquote digital signage like video walls and everything else, but they can also do ad trafficking.
Yeah, that's right. The what we call or tend to term endemic advertisement, or partners that already work very closely with a retailer, and they've long done promotional campaigns and paid partnership programs for promoting within the store. But on the digital side, they want to do more and more in the store environment with their retail partners. And that's not something that's going to get delivered through a traditional advertising exchange. It's not going to come from the marketing or advertising groups within those brands. It's going to be the people that work with those retail programs. And so AdLogic is a unique way to look at taking some of the capabilities and needs of the advertising market, but applying those in some of those retail-centric ways to create some of these retail media programs that do need a lot of that same tracking and delivery metrics that you would see in a traditional out-of-home advertising program. And so we think there's great capabilities there, but we did want to offer up ad trafficking and delivery for some of the networks that we were seeing to grow out there in some of the other spaces, like entertainment-based venues and a lot of areas where we're seeing some opportunities where they're trying to put in a entertainment and promotional network or a customer engagement network, but monetization is a core component of that. So it wasn't, you know, intended to be a 100% ad trafficking platform. It's kind of more for these blended media programs where advertising is some piece of that.
So if you have an end user looking at you guys versus, say, a broad sign, it's not really one of these us or them things. It's more a case of they're both good platforms, but they kind of work differently. So what do you need?
Yeah, and it's interesting, you know, that we see and long seen BroadSign, who's been doing this for a long time, go squarely after more of the pure play ad based networks that were created and funded and designed from the beginning to be primarily about delivering ads. And they have some CMS capabilities and strong capabilities to do other things. But a lot of what we do on our CMS side has to do with different content types that you wouldn't see a lot from people like BroadSign. We do tons of interactive and tons of customer engagement solutions and things that are a little bit different than what you see on some of the ad networks.
Right. I believe I saw a press release saying that you guys were powering Patient Point, which is what, 56,000 points of or like endpoints or something?
Yes, that was that was referring to their network deployment, which is a great point of care solution. So in doctors' offices, hospitals, they have a very interesting network of both what we call passive media for things like waiting rooms. They do screens that are also doctor facing and in back office, and then they're doing some really interesting things with interactive in the actual exam rooms. And those do have sponsorship elements from sponsors that they work very closely with that need to be tracked and delivered effectively. And those are the types of things that we're seeing that we can really do that's unique from both our CMS and the AdLogic side is that ability to do some of those interactive applications that have a lot more user engagement happening with them.
Mm-hmm. How have things changed over the years in terms of the demands of end users, what they want out of a system?
Yeah, I think a lot of our things that we've seen develop were, you know, what are now considered just kind of table stakes, which you have to do, which is you have to be scalable, which was actually hard when we started this. And there weren't a lot of things that was actually kind of a complaint in the market was things that could scale to do a lot of devices and a lot of screens. And that's just expected now. And the content delivery, getting it there and being effective and having the players and the screens running are expected, although that can still be a challenge when you start looking at some of the last mile kind of things that you see with screens and cables and all that physical stuff that goes into these implementations. But what we see now is a lot of demand from our business user, line of business clients around tracking engagement, tracking attribution, being able to target a lot more narrowly with their messages, getting their messages and their content out there faster to the market so that it's not kind of this one size fits all messaging that we saw for quite some time in the space where it was treated a little bit more like a broadcast medium where the same thing was on every channel. And that's changed dramatically where, you know, each screen is becoming a lot more dynamic, both in its content programs as well as its types of content. So we've moved well beyond video and traditional media content that gets produced by a production facility and then sent out on the network into a lot more of this HTML dynamic applications that are data-driven, showing content and just a lot more interactive in interaction with the users. And there's an expectation that the systems can do that and do it well. And that goes to including ads. And so a lot of the things that were new with this newer ad logic stuff that we were doing was being able to incorporate some of those things we've been doing on the CMS side for HTML ads and interactive ads and you know, not just video spots like you would see on TV.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, you mentioned scalability and how that's table stakes. Being somebody who gets press releases every day from everyone imaginable and some I couldn't imagine, they often talk about how they have a scalable solution, and I wonder often if they, first of all, really are, and do they even really understand what scalability really means? I'd be curious, as somebody's been doing this since the dawn of man, how do you define true scalability for a platform?
Yeah, and I agree. I see a lot of that now in messaging and stuff. And we actually did use that in our positioning and messaging earlier on because we saw that it was something that was unique when we first started, because there were a lot of signage networks out there, but there weren't a lot of them that were running at large scale on a particular network. And now it is expected. It's everybody says that it's scalable. What that means to us is looking at it a little bit more through the lens of like an IoT type solution, where the number of devices that are connected to the network, how much content is being delivered to them, and how much they're communicating and how much information you're getting back and how quickly from those devices all go into, are you designing and deploying a solution that's really scalable?
Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit screenfeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that, and then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
You did a lot of your work, particularly in the early years, in retail. That's another area that's changed pretty dramatically. Is when I get asked by vendors, whether they're software or hardware, about retail and whether that's a vertical they can go after or they should go after, I say, well, you can, but everybody has tried, and it's awfully hard just because of the way retail works. Have you found that through the years?
Yeah, one thing I really noticed and early on I saw as one of the big challenges in retail was that a lot of the brands that sell within retail, it's not their store. They don't own the store. They have to partner with these retailers. But a lot of the brands are the ones that are clamoring to get closer to the customer with digital and want to deliver their message or want to put interactive in there. Well, that's not that easy when it's not their store. It's not their network, which a lot of this comes back to the IP network mm-hmm. and the connectivity of doing a connected solution. And so that's where we saw a lot of the challenges. So we've seen some progress and some pretty interesting things just in the last few years where some of our larger retail clients have created more of a program to where they've put some guardrails in place, but they've gone back to their brand partners, their vendor brands that they worked with, and said, hey, we're going to open it up so that you can come in and put in some of these connected devices on our network. You can put in your own experience that's unique to you. And as long as it, you know, follows these guidelines, we're gonna open that up and we're gonna support you with that from an IT and an operations perspective. Haven't seen that broadly, but I've seen some really good cases of that popping up, and that's really helpful because a brand or a retailer that has their own products and their own brands, they can go deploy these networks and do some things confidently that they can put in a system that's going to work well on their network. But opening that up and sharing the messaging and sharing the audience with their brand partners is still an evolving animal.
Mm-hmm. I get a sense as well that the way retailers that are doing digital signage are doing it differently than they did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, in terms of they're not screening the hell out of a store with, you know, endless flat panel displays. There's much more of a focus either around feature walls or one-to-one interactivity. Have you seen that as well?
Yeah, we have the kind of the in-store TV thing, as you're referring to. Mm-hmm. We're seeing less of that. Well, we will see that with newer retailers or people that are new in opening stores, and they haven't really figured out what digital's role within the store is. Mm-hmm. I see this a lot right now with digital native brands that are just now getting into opening up their own physical stores. You can probably think of some examples of those, but people that started off selling online and are now opening up their own physical stores, and you'll see them put up a screen with some video loops or video content running on it, and not real sophisticated from a strategy standpoint. It's just a little bit more ambient content. But your more traditional retailers have been thinking about this and have gotten better about what is it that we're trying to do here. We're trying to get closer to the user, get them to interact with a screen, get some engagement and analytics back on what's working well and what people are interested in. And they're definitely being a lot more thoughtful with digital and thinking about it less as just kind of throwing technology at the wall.
Mm-hmm. And was that part of the driver of AdLogic, in that you could see that retail was evolving and they weren't going to just do hundreds of screens in a big mass merch store? They were going to be a lot more focused about it, which means far fewer software licenses.
Well, we see more actually right now because they are opening up some of these experiences for their brands to come in. But we saw that, and this is one of the things from the AdLogic side, is they want to open this up, but they want to get an idea of playing the content and the messaging and the apps for those brands in a way that is in compliance with their campaigns that they're running with mm-hmm. those brands, that they're not overplaying or underplaying the messaging for a particular brand. That's where a lot of the ad logic and the ad trafficking things that work really well for traditional out-of-home advertising can be applied well in the retail side, is some of that automating that delivery of the campaign and the metrics and the compliance mm-hmm. side.
Is the flighting that's happening in those kinds of environments coming out of media buyers, or is it, you know, out of the visual merchandising and marketing departments of the retailers and the brands?
Yeah, so the brand managers and the retail program people that work with like a CPG brand, for instance, and they work with a retailer, those tend to be different buckets and different budgets than the out-of-home advertising buys. Yeah. So retail, that's why we look at retail as a unique media opportunity that's different than some of the other venues that we work in that we look at as more aligned with out-of-home advertising.
Right.
So we work in some of these venues that are out-of-home advertising, like, you know, the amusement parks or a sports bar, some of these things that are pure play advertising from the ad budgets and need to be delivered according to those kinds of metrics and audience impressions and frequency and those types of things. But on the retail side, it's a different budget, different kind of buy. It's more of a partner thing. And it's something where the retailers want to work directly with their brand partners. They don't, they're not trying to just put up a ad exchange program and open it up to advertisers. It's something that they actually want to control. They just need a platform to automate it.
Right. And when you have these customers who want to monetize their networks, do they see it as a revenue stream or as a means to do cost recovery on the cost of running the network?
Yeah, well, most of the types of networks that we do, and this would be my advice and strategic insight when I talk with a client, or we talk with a client when they're planning a network, is when they're looking at their ROI and things like that, is the advertising and the paid media can be a big benefit to covering the operating costs on an ongoing basis and providing a monetization stream for operating the network. But when it's used as, hey, it's going to entirely pay for the hardware and the installation and the deployments, I haven't seen that go particularly well in the past on networks. There needed to be a reason for the network being put in, like customer engagement and promotions or entertainment. And the types of networks that we've been seen be successful have been, you know, they've had that overarching strategy there. Whereas if it's being put in and then they decide to monetize, it's usually, it works well as something to help with the OPEX side of it.
Yeah, I've not had as many inquiries as I've had for many, many years from companies who are starting digital at-home networks or ad-based networks of some kind who think that they're going to get rich doing this by putting screens in whatever type of venue and sell ads. And those guys seem to have gone away somewhat.
I think it goes in cycles a little bit as well, right? You'll see some cycles. And as out-of-home advertising grows, which it is, definitely growing faster than some of the other mediums. So out-of-home budgets are increasing. Out-of-home advertising is increasing. Some of the standards are still evolving. And some of the expectations on things like ratings and audience measurement are still a challenge in the out-of-home space. But as those things do get better, I think one of the things that may be good for those networks that are putting out some of those pure play advertising networks and do expect to get a good return on those is that the media buyers that are investing in the market are actually shifting some of their digital budgets from just online and mobile and things like that, and they're including out of home in some of their digital budgets now. So it's not just the out of home budget, you're actually seeing digital budgets getting applied to out of home, and that makes sense. It is a digital medium for the most part. Oh, it's starting to become a digital medium.
Yeah, you talked about audience. I know I read also that you guys have done a partnership with AdMobilize. What's driving that? Is it something you felt you needed, or is it being requested by your clients?
It's both. It's very compelling to the clients and the networks that we work with. We've seen things like the video analytics and have used those in the past to work with our clients to see from a content perspective what's really working well to engage the viewer. And I think there's a huge value to that. What we're seeing now with companies like AdMobilize is that there's an appeal there to look at it through the lens of the advertising side as well, to look at it from more of an audience measurement perspective, and not just some of the ways that I saw early on that we saw benefits from using it to measure content effectiveness and to improve the engagement. So now it's being used in a little bit of both. So there's a lot of appeal there on the video analytics side. There are also other audience measurement things like Wi-Fi data and looking at mobile phones that are within the vicinity of the screen. And some of those things are evolving for audience measurement and are getting embedded into the devices. They're getting embedded into the media players, which is great. That just needs to come back to helping with some of the audience measurement standards. That's still a problem in the out-of-home spaces, getting folks to agree on what standards are we going to use from a technology standpoint, what metrics are a standard, and how can you apply that to some of the traditional things like ratings. A lot of what we work with on the AdLogic side is a network needs to be rated in order to demand a premium on the advertising side. And somebody needs to put a gold stamp of approval on that and saying, yes, here's how many viewers, see these screens on a daily basis. Mm-hmm.
In the boilerplate for your press releases, I was intrigued that Reflect has kind of evolved from what I would think of as a pure play software company to a full services solutions company. I saw that you guys do creative services and go all the way to media sales, which is like a, that's not easy. Is it something that you found that in order to win business and to service clients for everything that they're asking for, you needed to really broaden the scope of what Reflect was all about?
Yeah, that's a great question. We did have to, over time, we saw that we needed those capabilities for the clients who need help with those or would like help with those. It's not a, we do all of this and you have to use all of those services or we won't help you. We have clients that strictly use us from a software platform perspective. We've had clients that have evolved into having us help them with solutioning the hardware and deploying it and installing it. Those things evolved over time after the 2010, 2011 timeframe. There was a lot of things that evolved where IT and internal groups inside the clients that we work with were starting to gravitate to wanting to buy more of a program approach or a holistic approach where the marketing and merchandising people would say, hey, we'd like you to come in and help do kind of thing a little bit more soup to nuts rather than us trying to figure out what other people have had to do to put all the pieces together. So we evolved some of those services out of necessity. We evolved those from learning what other people had done well and what some of our clients had done well and not so well over time. And those things you mentioned, like creative and content and even helping sell ads and plugging those into AdLogic for clients, those were things that were introduced for clients that need that help and would like some of that help. We still partner with agencies and production shops on content, and a lot of our clients have really strong programs set up for that where they don't need that help, but we found that it's great when somebody sits down and says, hey, help us shape a program and kind of help us do it soup to nuts, and we will.
Last question, what might we see out of Reflect in the next 6 to 12 months? Like, what's coming?
Yeah, well, we want to continue to leverage our strengths, which has been one of our big focus has always been help clients where they can deploy these networks and get them operating in the way that they can work today. A lot of those challenges with networks and connectivity and IT, we're not building stuff to where they have to go do these huge upgrades to their networks to get the benefit of deploying something today. But as the market does mature and standards, continue to develop, we want to leverage those strengths, but we want to see some more advancements in dynamic media and being able to do a little bit more in real time with real-time media that's created at the edge of the network and renders itself on the media player on the fly, being able to incorporate things like streaming and a lot more real-time media. Would be nice if the networks advance. We're doing a lot more on the what we call the dynamic media, which is content that's getting generated in real time, and we'll continue to do that. And working with partners like AdMobilize and others around metrics, measurement, engagement, and attribution, and continue to work on some of our strengths in the retail space, just to help make it easier for those brands to activate at retail with the store partners.
All right, Matt, thank you very much for the chat.
Yeah, pleasure. Great to be with you today.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the site and find scores of conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9. That's at 16-9.net. You'll find thousands of posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. I don't run a press release republishing mill. If something makes it on 16.9, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.